This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, I've been having a pretty good week. The Capitals, on the other hand, have not. Not a good time to be a Caps fan. This is the definition of a slump, I would say. Hopefully the Caps can break it. We will talk all about it. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I've been better. I have this freaking cold that won't go away, and so I probably sound a little raspy and I have a cough drop, and it's going to be an interesting show.
You know, we'll get right into it then. I think you sound great, though, Coach. I really do.
Shut up. It's like that comment I made to you, what was that, a couple months ago, where you had a thing, and I was like, nah, you sound normal. And then I was like, wait, that came out wrong.
Well, Ovi is still chasing 700, but that's because the Capitals lost the last two games against the Flyers and the Islanders. Lots of stuff happening in those games. Coach, what's going on? This is two really bad losses. Is it the third jersey curse? Is there something else going on? What is happening? Because these last two games have been not just losses, but embarrassing losses.
So I'm glad you brought up the third jersey curse, because I totally forgot about that until just now. But I actually saved a picture that was posted. Someone posted this on Twitter. It was Wumpus at NHL Caps 8, who I guess was tweeting to Russian Machine the third jersey record. November 11th, shootout loss. December 9th, loss. December 27th, overtime win. Yeah. December 31st, loss. January 11th, loss. January 16th, win. February 2nd, loss. February 8th, loss. February 10th, loss. It's getting a little repetitive, you might say. I don't know why. I don't necessarily believe in curses, but this one is freaking weird in this fact that they don't play well, or they don't have any luck in the when playing with those jerseys. So I don't think it's necessarily the jersey, but it's definitely a weird situation. But in regards to the last two games, they've just played so poorly. And the thing is, we're all kind of right now as Caps fans being like, Holpe, you're done. Have a good time. Samsonov, it's your turn now. I don't think Holpe's not playing his best, but it's not his fault. I don't think it's his fault. The players are playing almost lazy. I feel like they're just not really, especially the defense, they're not giving enough of an effort. I feel like the other teams are really pushing to get the puck when it's, you know, a one-on-one battle. The other team is pushing harder than I feel like the Caps guys are doing. And I'm just not seeing it from the Caps players right now. And they're suffering. And as a result, they're getting blown out in games. I mean, they almost got beat by a touchdown against the Flyers. And they come out against the Islanders. And actually started, I felt like they were dominating that game possession-wise. And they were just like, all right, well, we're done. They went down, was it 2-0? 3-0 at one point, potentially? Or 2-1? Like, they just look so poor in these last two games. And we know the power play has been struggling since December. But the team itself is struggling right now. And I put a tweet out wondering if, you know, is this a team that needs a shakeup? You know, and not just a thing where you bench a defenseman or you switch up your goaltenders. Do they need a real shakeup? And I'm talking a trade. Do they need something that's really going to make them go, oh, you know, this is not working right now. We need to mix it up and make something work. You know, is it a trade? Is it a, not saying fire Reardon, but is someone on the coaching staff potentially on a hot seat right now because the power play wasn't working? And that's a problem when you have this kind of offense. So, you know, right now, I think something needs to shake these guys up, and I don't know exactly what it is.
The power play has definitely been a sore subject for fans. It has not done well this season, and it still is not doing well. But I think you're correct in saying that the defense is definitely an issue. I think that's why, and you're saying maybe trade, maybe do something. I think that's another reason why we saw Martin Fehervaari back.
No, isn't it Fehervaari?
Fehervaari.
That's why we saw Martin.
Martin, the big MF.
Jesus.
We're bringing that back, you know.
After all the times you bleeped me out of last week's show when we're starting the gritty portion.
Well, it's a family show. We're not saying
Sneaking in profanity in the show.
Let's see if Brandon's paying attention while he's falling asleep whilst editing.
Yeah, right. So that's when you record at 8:30 at night. No, I felt like bringing up Fervari or however you say his name. I felt like that was a good move because I don't think the team's very happy with Nick Jensen right now.
Well, hold on. If they're not happy with Jensen, why do they sit Ratko Gudas?
Well, because they weren't happy with him either with the play he had against the Flyers. So you're like, we got to play somebody. You know, I do think they needed to shake up. I think over the last 2 years, McClellan has gone out and brought in a defenseman at the trade deadline. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen again.
Well, we saw the big MF, Martin Fehervaari, and he was able to get his first NHL point. Which,
where's he from?
I don't know.
But I'm looking it up. You keep going.
Martin was sent back down. So, I mean, they're at least bringing him up, seeing what they can get out of him. But the defense pretty much came out and said on Saturday that it was not Braden Holtby's fault for that loss. It was the lack of defense. And
Slovakian. Bratislava. Wow. Oh, I think we've made this joke before in regards to the movie Euro Trip. All right, keep going. Sorry.
Nowhere near Berlin. That's my favorite part of that movie. But I don't know. I don't know what to do with this defense. You know, Michael Kempney also, he got beat on up against the Islanders, and that resulted in a goal on Samsonov. So, I mean, Kempney, I don't think he's playing up to his full potential. He's looked all right. So, yeah, I think this defense is kind of in disarray right now. We have, you know, one of the best ever, John Carlson, playing. But besides that, I don't know. I'm not really in love with this defense core. It just feels like there's a lot of pieces missing. It's not just Jensen. It's not just Gudas. But, I mean, they're not strong pieces anyway. But this just seems like a defense that's lacking motivation, lacking skill. I don't know. It's just I'm not impressed with how this defense looks at all.
Well, I found it interesting that Reardon kind of ripped into them in the Flyers game when they were down by, I don't know, 4 or 5 at that point, and that he really tried to send a message in terms of how they were playing. And I felt like they played better against the Flyers at that point, but then they went into the game against the Islanders and started well, as I said before, and then they just kind of crapped out. And the Islanders definitely played harder, and it seemed like they wanted that game or were willing to do more to get that game than the Caps were. And, you know, it's on the coaching staff to get these guys motivated and playing hard. I know, the NHL has a long season. You're tired. You've got your injuries. But you still have to play. And I think that it's down to the coaching staff to make them perform better, to get more out of them. And if they can't do it, they need to find someone who will or who can.
Now, John Walton did bring up during the Stanley Cup winning year, the Capitals did go through a very bad slump in February.
That's true. Weren't we talking about Trotz being fired at one point?
Yeah. And I mean, he got very close to being fired that year before the Cup run. So, I mean, that's kind of poetic justice for him. But this isn't new for the Capitals. They've been through stretches like this before. I just hope, you know, at that trade deadline, you bring in Michael Kempney, and he had a really great half of the year with the Capitals. Hopefully you can do the same thing at the trade deadline this time. Martin Fehervaari, I think he's got a lot of upside, but there's still going to be, you know, stuff to figure out. It's a long season. It's a tough season, but you know, the Capitals can do this, but I don't know, that back end, you know, that defensive core, I just don't know if the talent's there. I mean, the Stanley Cup winning team also was said that they weren't expected to go very far. It wasn't the team that was supposed to win the cup, and they did anyway. So, I mean, there's always teams that can go on a run, but right now they're in a slump, and they need to figure this out because it is a tight race in the East, and, you know, sooner or later you have a bad stretch of games, maybe even just 5 games, and you're out of the top spot in the Metro, and, you know, you could fall pretty far after losing multiple games in a row.
Oh, that's definitely true. I mean, they got knocked out of the top spot after a couple of losses, and not that that's like winning the President's Trophy. It's like, oh, no, we're not going to get that thing that always seems to be the curse, going back to our conversation before. But it is a problem. It is something the coaching staff has to look into. You know, I think a trade is likely going to happen at some point before the trade deadline. I don't think they're going to just sit with this team. But I also don't want them to necessarily throw everything at bringing in another guy, because they still need to continue replenishing the farm system. They still need to have the young guys coming up, because, you know, the core of this team is not young anymore. They're not old necessarily, but they aren't exactly the youngest guys. And, you know, you have a guy like Vrana who's starting to be a superstar in this league. You think Kuznetsov is, even though he's had his moments of struggles this season. You know, but you need more guys around them when you need to start replacing someone like a TJ Oshie, and then in a couple of years, a Nick Backstrom and an Alex Ovechkin. And so you can't keep trading away first round picks to try and make another run at the cup. You know, unless you want to try and go through another rebuild type thing and you know, spend 4 or 5 seasons building up around a new hopeful superstar. But you never know how that could turn out. You know, we've seen teams in the past that bring it, like Columbus tried to do that with Rick Nash. And that didn't work out. You know, they ended up losing him, and then they started actually to become a pretty decent team. So, you know, I would love for them to make a trade, but I want to be a little cautious in regards to the trade that they make. They already did that last year with Jensen, and while that seemed to work out last season, it hasn't so much this one. And unless you move him out, you're now putting potentially a lot of money into your defense. And my guess is, you know, they're not going to bring in a rental.
We also got to look, if Jensen's not having that great of a season, who's going to take a chance on him? You know, you got to look at that as well. It's kind of interesting to say, like, oh, we want to get...
Well, he's got a good contract.
Yeah.
For 3 years at 2.5. So if you're a team that's, you know, a building team, it's not going to hurt you. And you're probably going to have a lot of cap space. So that's not going to hurt you. And it's a guy that can be, you know, more, maybe not necessarily a veteran presence, but he's, you know, at this point, pretty much just a veteran. He's been around the league long enough. You know, he's a guy that can help with some of the young guys that are coming up, maybe in a mentor role, as well as, you know, someone who's not going to break the bank for you. And once your team's probably ready to compete, you can either decide if you want to keep him around or moving him out.
Now, the offense has looked pretty good in the last couple games. They're getting the job done. TJ Oshie's getting donuts from his daughter, you know, scoring goals for her.
I want a donut. Why's my kid not giving me a donut? Oh, because he's 8 months. He still can't walk.
Dunkin' Donuts here in Baltimore, even if you pay for a donut or breakfast through the app, they still won't give it to you because they suck. But anyway, they're not going to sponsor the show. But
not anymore.
We have a guy, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, who is hurt right now. He's going to miss the game up against Colorado. It's an upper body injury. We don't know what the injury specifically is, but I have to assume... with his history, it has to be a shoulder issue, I would assume, just because he's had that in the past. But what's this team going to look like without Yevgeny Kuznetsov on the ice?
Well, I think Eller gets bumped up to his spot. Probably Dowd or Boyd then ends up on the third line. That would be my guess.
Now, Lars Eller... we saw him get the spotlight during the Stanley Cup year when Nick Backstrom went down, and Lars Eller, he didn't do too well when he got bumped up to that second line. It was very much a sigh of relief when Backstrom did come back and Lars was able to get back onto that third line. But this season, Lars Eller definitely has been looking fantastic. He was like the one shining light in that game against the Penguins. So I'm kind of interested to see how Lars Eller does with the extra minutes, with being on that second line, what he can do working with Oshie and Vrana, because while he struggled a couple years ago, he's definitely improved his game, and I mean, he's looked really good this year as well. What is Lars Eller going to do in this new role with Vrana and Oshie on his sides?
Well, I don't think he has the same offensive skill necessarily that Kuznetsov has, but I think he has done well in the past when he's been asked to step up in that role. And usually it's in a short-term time frame, so he's not, you know, solidified as that guy. And so I think when you have him with some other offensively talented individuals, he knows he just needs to kind of simple his game, just keep it in terms of how he plays, you know, provide these guys with opportunities to score, and things will work out. It's not the first time he's had to do it, so it's not something that I would imagine he's overly concerned about. It did seem like he was double-shifting the other night. And then was it the other game, the Islanders, and they interviewed him after one of the intermissions? And you can kind of see that he was like, it felt like he was out of breath.
Right.
Like he was just so tired. And I was like, yeah, I can understand that. It's a lot going on probably right now with Kuznetsov out and him playing a lot. But I'm not too concerned about it. I mean, Eller has stepped up since he got comfortable with this team. And I think he's been a great addition
I did not like
if
that
I,
signing.
If I didn't already have like 5,000 cap shirts, I'd probably buy an Eller one.
Have you seen the posting about the guy who has a, or I don't even know if it's a guy, but whoever it was posted their jersey collection and they had a jersey for every single person on the Stanley Cup team?
I did see that. I want to know what your profession is to make that kind of money so I can be
You buy them in bulk from China. That's what you do.
That's true. You can't tell if they are legitimate jerseys or not.
Actually, you know, this is a little off topic, but did you know that there actually is a hockey stick shortage right now in the NHL?
I did read that.
They get a lot of their sticks from China, and due to the coronavirus and kind of, I think the U.S. has a policy right now where they've kind of cut off the borders. Nothing's coming in from China. And so right now the Caps and the entire NHL are running low on sticks because they can't get them in the country.
That it's going to be a problem with the amount that I've actually seen to break them from time to time.
So he does, yes.
That could be an issue, but that's a problem.
So coming up later this week, we do have the Capitals up against the Colorado Avalanche, and this will be Willie Baby's chance to see Andre Burakovsky in his new digs. What's it going to be like for Willie and the Barracuda to actually be on opposing sides? Because, I mean, they were buddies. They were roommates. You know, there's something that I have to assume they're not really used to seeing each other in different jerseys now.
Haven't we played Colorado already?
Yeah, here, but not in Colorado.
You know, so he's probably used to, I mean, it's kind of part of sports that guys you become, you know, good friends with or whatever it is, they end up playing somewhere else. And I think with social media now, it just makes it easier for players to stay connected. More so than they did in the past. And so I'm sure it'll be a little weird, but they probably are used to it by now with the amount of guys that they played with in the past that are now playing somewhere else. I mean, think about when they're in like juniors and playing as they're really coming up and then they all get drafted by different teams. And I have to imagine you really make connection with those guys then as well. And so it's probably a pretty standard thing that they deal with. It'll be nice that if they have a little reunion. We need to keep an eye on the Instagram and Twitter pages and all that kind of stuff to see what's going on. I'm sure the smart you-know-what comments that they'll be making towards one another. But it is very fitting that Ovechkin will probably get to 700, and I won't be able to watch the game because I have to go to bed. I got to get up early in the morning, man. Can't stay up to a game that's going to go until like freaking midnight.
When do they play? Is it Thursday or Friday? Thursday. Okay.
Dang it. I was like, you said Thursday or Friday. I was like, ooh, is it Friday? I'll stay up for that one.
The Arizona game's at 10 p.m. on Saturday night, too. Ooh.
All right. Ovi, don't score on Thursday. Score one on Thursday and then the other one on Saturday. I can watch the Saturday one. Do you think it's part of the team's struggles? One is they're probably just trying to feed him the puck so much. And the other teams are like, well, duh, trying to do that. We'll just cover him the whole time. But then also, they keep putting them on national TV, and I wonder if that's just kind of like adding an additional bit of pressure where they're just like, can you leave us alone? We're trying to win games.
I mean, I would assume at this point, Ovi is not fazed by that big stage.
I don't think he is.
I don't know.
Maybe. Apparently earlier they were asking about if it's a bigger deal scoring, or if there's less pressure to do to get the 700 on the road. And he was just like, whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll get to it. I'll eat my OVOs in the morning, cheering them on as much as I can. But what else is going on in Caps world?
I think we covered everything on my list. We
covered it all.
And the big MF, he got sent back down to Hershey. So I guess they're going to put Jensen and Gudas back out there. Or they're just giving him more chances to play and then bring him back. But I don't think he's on the road trip, at least not as far as I saw.
Yeah.
So I know he's back. He was back in Hershey today skating. So, you know, just give him a good look. But it sounds like this is a kid that's got a future in Washington.
I mean, he's definitely got everybody's eye. That's definitely for sure. I think we all can see that.
All right. So you think they're going to make – when's the trade deadline again? End of the month?
Yeah, I think it's the 24th.
All right, it's coming up. You think – I mean, well, no one makes a trade at the trade deadline. Everything is like a week or two before. I mean, we saw a pretty big one go down. We'll talk about it a little later. But do you think the Caps are going
to
make a trade?
They have somebody? They have to.
All right. Well, offense, defense, coaching? Well,
defense is definitely the issue right now. But I don't – it's rare you're going to get defender for defender. So I don't know I don't know who's on the market, to be honest, and I don't know who they would let go. I mean, I assume it would be a package deal. Like, do you
Kevin Shattenkirk?
that may be the dumbest trade ever. But that might be that's up there with Martin Erat. That and Martin.
No,
Erat,
I don't think it. That's no. There's so much distance between the Erat Forsberg trade and any other trade the Capitals have ever made.
I will agree with you on that. Yes, but that Shattenkirk trade. I mean, they were like, "All right, yeah, he's here," and then he immediately gets suspended, and then he's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess we kind of played." I don't know.
That didn't work out.
No, so that was a terrible trade as well. But I mean, do you package Braden Holtby with a couple prospects and get a big time defender?
Nah, because you don't have a goaltender to back up Samsonov.
Well, you bring up Vitek.
No.
Bring up Vitek Vanacek.
No. Stop what you're doing.
Or you bring up, you bring back Phoenix Copley.
Pass.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't. It's a hard sell when you're trying to sell like Gudas or Jensen to somebody else and they're not performing. Like Gudas, I can't imagine him being traded away. He just came here and he just got benched or got the press box treatment. So I don't.
He's not going anywhere.
I mean, I don't see that as a selling point. Jensen's not really playing that often. I mean, he's usually the guy to sit. I think Gudas sat because Jensen hasn't played in a while. So I don't know. I think defense definitely needs something. Something new, something has to change, but whether or not somebody's leaving, I mean, I don't see a defender leaving for another defender. I just don't.
No?
Unless it's a young defender from Hershey, and again, you package them with somebody else.
I don't know. I feel like I could see a defender in terms of it's a team that's looking to rebuild as part of their kind of either fire sale or retooling, and they need someone to fill that spot. Maybe they're looking at one of the Caps guys that's currently on the roster. I don't think that they're going to move out someone like a Kempney, obviously not Carlson, Orlov. I don't think Gudas goes. Jensen, maybe. I don't think it necessarily sets a great look, but it's not like his play has necessarily helped his case. But I do think they're going to bring in someone. I don't think they necessarily are. I mean, oh, also Singenthaler is definitely not going anywhere. But I don't think they necessarily are settled on the players that they have now. And I think they definitely want to bring in someone. And I don't think any of the guys in the minors, they are necessarily thinking, well, this is our guy that we're going to go into the playoffs with. It might be the case that they have to, if they don't bring in someone, but I agree with you. I think they are going to bring in someone. And I do think it's going to be a defenseman.
We shall see. Only time will tell. And as the trade deadline gets closer, the more and more fun it is for us to talk about. So we'll definitely be covering that next week, and hopefully the Capitals have some wins by next week, and hopefully Ovi's got goal 701 at this point, but we shall see. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, I can tell you firsthand, I saw the Hershey Bears on Saturday. I took the trek up 83. I got to see the boys play. I got a free hat. It was a great game. But tell us, Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went 3-0. With wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Springfield, and Lehigh Valley. Bears, you went to the Springfield game?
Yes.
Yeah. Bears are currently first in the Atlantic Division with 67 points, 3 up on second place Hartford, though the Bears have played 2 more games. So they got to keep winning and hope Hartford gets a couple key losses. They'll be back at it with 3 games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Binghamton. Saturday, they trade spots and host the Baby Devils. And then Sunday's game is at the Giant Center against Lehigh Valley. Because, as we've talked about in the past, they play Lehigh Valley every week, it seems to be.
Yeah, they're there, yeah. That's their thing.
I don't understand. The schedule guy in the AHL is even crazier than the one in the NHL. Congratulations are in order for Bears defenseman Christian Juice, who was named the CCM AHL Player of the Week for this past week. The Caps sort of prospect got 7 points in the Bears' 3 games with 1 goal and 6 assists. He's only 25.
Could you see a return?
I could see him being packaged.
Ah, there we go. Interesting.
I mean, they have a number of young defensemen that one day they might want to bring up. And so
is his name on the cup?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was he up the whole season?
You don't have to. Do you have to get? No, I'm pretty sure his name is on the cup.
Okay. I can't remember off the top of my head. Because I,
I could see him being part of a package, though I bet Hershey people be like, why? He's playing really well for us. Don't do that.
I know like Nathan Walker and Shane Gersick and those guys who, even though they played in the playoffs, their names are not on the cup.
Yeah, you only have so many spots.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for them. And the biggest of shout outs to fan of the show and my new buddy, and I apologize if I say your name wrong, sir, Dennis Vitone. He got me a Bears hat from the game that you went to. He actually sent me a Facebook message tonight, said he put it in the mail, so I should have it in a couple of days. I told him if I ever see him at a Bears game, well, first they'll lose because anytime I go to a Bears game, they lose. I'm 0-5 lifetime. Freaking ridiculous. I have never seen that freaking team win a game in person. It's annoying. But anyways, if I'm allowed to go to a game because I'm bad luck, I owe him a beer or a soda or a hot dog or something, because that is a pretty cool thing for him to do. So very much thank you, Dennis. That was very nice.
Yeah, he has offered tickets to the Hershey Bears game in the past. And of course, you and I could never work out schedules correctly to get up there for
a game. I have a small human. It's very difficult now to do stuff, apparently.
So we do have to say thank you to him for constantly being an awesome listener and hooking you up with a hat. He's a better friend than I, because I didn't bring you a hat back.
Yeah, what the uncool.
Yeah, but I do want to say it was I should have actually contacted him before I went up to the game, because see if he was there at the Saturday game. Obviously he got a hat, so he was there, but I took
he just went to get the hat, then he left.
I took my godson and his entire family up to a Hershey Bears game on Saturday, which was awesome. Very proud moment as a godfather to take my godson to a hockey game. He's 7 years old, so he's still kind of figuring out what sports he's into. And his dad's not like the biggest sports fan. So I've taken him to like Baltimore Ravens games. A couple weeks ago, we took I took him to the Blast game. The Baltimore Blast is indoor soccer here in Baltimore.
I've been to a game.
Yeah, it's a
that was years ago.
You probably haven't been at the new arena at Towson University. Really nice arena for a college.
Could be
team.
Worse than Royal Farms Arena.
Yeah, but I figured Hershey Bears would be a good trip. And then I talked to his dad and his sister, who was about 10 years old. His dad's like, I've never been to a hockey game before. Do you mind if, you know, it's not just you and my son, but can I take my son, my daughter? And hey, the wife wants to go too. So it was me and his entire family drove up to Hershey, and none of them really watch hockey. You know, I've tried to sneak in a game every now and again just to kind of pique their interest. I've gotten them Capital shirts, just trying to get them to come to games. And they had an absolute blast. I got to tell you, the wife actually like tapped me on the shoulder and she goes, I did not think I was going to have fun here because I'm not a sports fan, but this is so much fun. I'm having such
She's
a great
there.
Time.
Go sports ball.
Yeah. Go team that we're rooting
it's
for.
A puck. Thank you.
Yes. The daughter kept saying the ball. It was, I've never experienced this because all of my god kids are pretty young. I think 7 and 8 are I've got 3 god kids and the oldest one is 8, but I've never had a child go to a game with me and actually watch the game, if that makes any sense. So to have my godson's sister sitting next to me and going, what do they hit? Where's the ball now? And I'm like, well, it's a puck. All right, the game just stopped.
Did
Why?
She ever say that wrong and almost get herself in trouble?
No. Everything was fine. But she was like, why did they just blow the whistle? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And she actually was like really into it. So that nice. that was an absolutely fantastic experience for me. I'm very happy I got to take my godson's family to the game and kind of show them the ropes. And they got to meet Coco before the game. He was actually right at the door as we came in, which was awesome. They got hats. I bought him sticks and pucks and shirts. It was a blast. And I'm really, if you do have young kids, Hershey Bears game is definitely a great one to go because it won't cost you an arm and a leg like it will with a Caps game. And it's also a little bit smaller, but it, I mean, it's still just as fun. The hockey's just as good. I got to see, how do you say the guy's name? Axel Fjällby.
Jansson Fjällby.
That dude's got some wheels on him. That guy is super fast. I sent you a highlight goal of him from Saturday. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. And this past Sunday, if you were paying attention to our Facebook page, you would have known the Bears were on the NHL Network. So you could have seen the Hershey Bears play on a national level. They were up against Lehigh Valley in the afternoon on Sunday, up against the XFL game. So it was, people are digging the XFL. 3.1 million viewers watched the XFL.
Yeah, the first time they got like good, the first few games, people were like, oh, and then they're like, oh, this is stupid.
I don't know. The first game, people were like, this is dumb. And then it just plummeted. They were able to hold 3 million viewers in today's day and age. That's something special.
We'll see how it lasts.
We will. But the Bears are on fire right now. They're looking great. What a great in-game experience. I had a blast on Saturday. And yeah, if you're in town, if you're close to Baltimore, D.C. or whatever, Hershey is not that far away. So make a day of it and go check out a Bears game.
I want to go. Again, they'll lose because I'm bad luck. But it would be fun to go to a game. Going down to South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with two wins over Orlando. They're currently first in the South Division with 72 points, 1 point up on second place Florida, who has played two more games. Stingrays are back at it as we speak against Norfolk. Then they head back home to the North Charleston Coliseum to host Adirondack on Friday and Greenville on Saturday before going back on the road to Jacksonville on Sunday. They then have a home game against Greenville next Tuesday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. Some good, some bad, some very scary. Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL?
Let's start in Anaheim, where St. Louis defenseman Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench during the first period after suffering from a cardiac episode. The game was stopped with 7:50 remaining in the first period. Medical personnel had to use a defibrillator to revive him, though he came to immediately. The game was stopped and eventually postponed. Now, credit to the Blues and the Ducks trainers and physicians. The Blues are actually on their father's road trip.
Oh, my God.
Which has got to be pretty scary for his dad to see. Reports are that he's doing much better. So that's good for Jay Bouwmeester. That's pretty crazy. I saw pictures of the Ducks players kind of consoling the St. Louis players after the game. And it's just nice to see that even though these guys, you know, hitting each other and trying to kill each other, not literally, on the ice, that they really are a tight-knit community. Hockey players and the thing, you know, this, at the end of the day, it's about them as people, not this silly sport that we watch.
Did you see the clip of him collapsing on the bench?
Yeah. God, yeah. And
that
the
was
players,
terrifying.
Well, it reminds me of Rich Peverly when he collapsed.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
And so it's, you know, it's just, he just kind of like, he's there and he just goes down and you see the players are kind of like go to the side and then they just look over the training staff and they're like waving their arms so fast.
And what's the other thing that's really terrifying is that they had to use a defibrillator right there on the bench. Like, imagine if that equipment was not there at the ready. Like, we could be having a very different conversation right now.
Oh, yeah. No, that could have been really bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, kudos to the medical staff for reacting as quickly as they did. Kudos to everybody in the building, both teams, like you said, coming to each other's aid. I'm so incredibly happy that he's going to be okay, that he was awake and conscious. I can't say that word. While he was in the ambulance. So I'm so happy that this is not ending as badly as it could have.
Yeah, it could have been much, much worse, but it's good to see that he's up and, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. In lighter news, Winnipeg has announced they signed head coach Paul Maurice to a contract extension. Years and terms were, as typical with coaches, not released. Congrats to Vancouver legends Daniel and Henrik Sedin, who are having their jersey numbers retired this evening. They both played 17 years with the Canucks. I believe I read they still live in Vancouver, and Daniel is even a crossing guard at his kid's school.
Huh.
So isn't that nice? Edmonton. I was like, why is this in the article?
Are you going to do that with your kids?
I can't retire. Who are you kidding?
No, just, you know, every day.
Be a crossing guard?
Yeah.
I have to help with the arrival and dismissal for the kids. So, yeah, kind of. I already am.
You already have the vest, don't you?
No, they. I'm supposed to wear one, but I don't know where it is. So, whatever. Speaking of Canadian teams, apparently we're going to stay there. As Edmonton signed defenseman Darnell Nurse to a two-year $11.2 million extension. Comes with to a cap hit of 5.6. I always find it funny when you hear like the money they're making and it's like 11.2. I'm like, who argued to get that 0.2?
Right.
To get that little bit more. That's just funny to me. I don't know why. Anyways, Pittsburgh is making a push for their playoff run as they acquired forward Jason Zucker from Minnesota for forward Alex Galchenyuk, defenseman Kalen? I don't know. Addison, and a 2020 conditional first round pick. Penguins not playing around. Boston defenseman Jeremy Lauzon was suspended for two games for an illegal check to the head of Arizona center Derek Stepan. Remember when everyone was hitting each other in the head? Like, why are we doing that again?
Let's stop that.
It's not hard not to do that. You know what's also hard not to do? Be a dick. This is where we wrap up this segment talking about Jeremy Roenick. He is out at NBC Sports. He was put on an indefinite suspension after he made a joke about having a three-way with his wife and fellow NBC Sports host Catherine Tappan. Roenick made a stupid comment on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast, which I believe friend of the show and one of my staff members, Andrew Markowitz, has been trying to get me to listen to. It's a Barstool Sports, so no thanks.
They make a fantastic vodka, pink lemonade vodka with New Amsterdam. Absolutely amazing vodka.
Okay, yeah, it's Barstool Sports. Those guys are all misogynistic, so pass. I'll take your word for it on the vodka. As for Roenick, he came out today with a video saying he was disappointed and angry. I liked JR. I thought he was actually really good on NBC Sports. He took the lighter side and the silly stuff and like made it really entertaining. I really appreciated when I went to see the Penguins play the Flyers at Mellon Arena in Pittsburgh years ago. And the Flyers, I think, won that game. He was the only player from both teams to come out and sign autographs for fans. I remember standing outside of Mellon Arena and watching the players come out, and the Penguins players would go right to their cars. The Flyers players were going right to the bus. Roenick came out, started signing things for everybody. Didn't matter if they were wearing Flyers gear, Penguins gear. I really thought that was good. His comments were beyond idiotic. Like, I get it. You're trying to be cool and hang out with the guys and you make a silly comment like that, but it's wildly inappropriate. And at this point, with everything that's happening in the world, with all the people that have been caught and been called out on their inappropriate behavior that we just kind of let go in the past that we shouldn't have then and shouldn't be happening now, he's an idiot for saying something like that. And then the fact that he's disappointed and angry that he lost his job over it, that's the reality of not the situation, but of the world. You don't make those kind of comments, especially not when you're a quote unquote celebrity, an athlete, someone in that public persona. You can't make those comments. You know, if you go and you make a comment to a friend of yours, fine, whatever. It's not, you know, you're a jerk, but fine, whatever. It's not really anybody's problem. But you're in a position where you have to represent a network. You represent something bigger than yourself. You can't do that. And to say that he's just disappointed, angry, he clearly doesn't get it.
It was highly inappropriate for him to say what he did. And especially if he is billed as an analyst for NBC Sports, of course, if they hear something that you're going to say and they don't like it, then they have every right to fire you. You know, that's what they pay you for. But I'm making excuses for him in any way. You had an experience where he was kind of nice to you. That's great.
I didn't get the autograph, just to be clear. I just thought it was nice that he did that.
That is very nice, but
especially in like Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of his work on NBC Sports. I'm not going to miss him. I don't think he was a very balanced reporter. I don't want to make excuses for him at all or anything like that. But when you take a guy like that and put a mic in front of him, those are the type of things that, you know, the host or whatever wants to hear. So I think he was trying to fit in, and that is also wrong. So, I mean, for him to say that, very stupid, very ignorant to say something like that. But I'm sure he was just trying to fit in. And again, that's not an excuse. He should not have done it. So I don't think he's going to go very far away. I think he's definitely going to stay in the spotlight. NBC isn't going to pay him, but I'm sure Barstool Sports will. And I'm sure, you know, ESPN doesn't really cover hockey. But, you know, by the time the Olympics come back around, you might see him again on the Olympic stage, because it'll be, you know, what was it, 2 years from now? So, you know, the heat may die down at that point. I don't think this is the end of his career. I think it's the end of his time at NBC Sports, but he'll start up his own podcast. He'll start up his own YouTube series. He's not going to go far. But NBC, I think, did make the right decision in what they did. And like you said, you know, things in the past were kind of encouraged and thought okay, and they're not. And you know, it's the way it is now, and the way it kind of should be. You know, we all should hold ourselves to better standards than we have in the past.
Well put. Well put. So, yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL. Mikey, go over to you. You got a little bit more news to talk about.
That's right. So the USA-Canada rivalry series is over. The U.S. closed out the rivalry series with a 4-3 overtime win over Canada. They captured the rivalry series crown, actually winning 4 of the 5 games played. And this is a fantastic record that the team set here. The U.S. women and U.S. women's hockey team and the Canadian hockey team, those two teams played in front of 13,320 fans, which set a record for the most attended women's national hockey team game ever played on U.S. soil. Absolutely fantastic news.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is
good way. Sorry, I said that's crazy, and I was like, wait, that could be misconstrued. That it's good. It's, you know, when we saw them play at the All-Star game.
Yeah,
that was fun. You know, it's good, and that's what's supposed to be. It's sports. It's supposed to be fun.
And to be perfectly honest, when did they started this rivalry series in December? They probably should have waited to play all the games after the All-Star game and gotten the press of that 3-on-3 and have people go, oh, this is really cool, I'm going to go see these players. And then they go, oh, they're playing a rivalry series. It should have been, you know, the next month and a half.
The problem is it was on NHL Network, right?
Yes.
I don't have that.
There was one. The first game was on NBC Sports on December 14th. But that's Christmas time, the holidays, you know, there's other stuff on.
I don't have NBC Sports. I can't watch the game.
Well, if you the national, was it the NWHL, does have a Twitch channel. They had their All-Star game on Twitch. You don't know what Twitch is, man. Nope. You're old.
I know.
So that all the kids now watch Twitch, and it's people that stream gaming.
Oh, I have heard of it. I don't understand. I mean, I understand how it works. I don't understand why people want to watch someone else playing a game.
You have any idea more people? I Ashton Kutcher brought this up, I think, on Hot Ones. More people watched this Hot Ones. It's a YouTube series where people eat hot wings and they talk about stuff. Man, I thought I was out of the loop. You're way out of the loop.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But more people watched the
Dennis is gonna not let me have my hat now. He's gonna go find it.
More people watch some gaming series and some championship tournament of gaming. I don't know, but more people watch that worldwide than watch the Super Bowl. So there's definitely an audience after us, an audience in their teens and early 20s are watching people play games, and the gamers are making billions of dollars streaming their video games on Twitch. And there's other ones too. There's Mixler or something else, and there's other places you can do.
You sound very confident in that one.
I don't know.
Mixler
something or other. But online gaming of people watching games is huge business. Absolutely huge. I'm not a gamer. I don't even own an Xbox. So, or a PS, which one are we on now? 4? 5?
I don't know. I have an Xbox One.
Yeah, so I got none of that stuff. That was never my thing growing up. But, you know, there's Twitch is a way to stream all that. I actually tried to get us on Twitch to do a live version of the podcast, but
oh yeah,
that's that equipment's expensive, man.
I didn't say I wanted to do it. I just remembered you talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay, he did talk about that at one point.
Yeah, but that's it for the international hockey news as well. But go USA and go Canada for having this rivalry series and bringing women's hockey to the forefront. I absolutely love to see that. And the games were also great. I mean, it's not just, you know, oh, they're going to play. Isn't that nice? No, the games are competitive. They're hard hitting. And like I said, my godson's sister went to the hockey game. And when I told her that there were female hockey players that she could watch, she was like, are you kidding me? I want to go watch it right now.
Yeah. No, I think things like getting this more, having more access to it by young girls, by young boys that have the opportunity to watch them play. But they got to put it on a network that people can see it on, because not everybody has NHL Network.
Well, there's all different ways to watch the NHL Network. You just got to get the right streaming service. Or the right, I don't know. There's ways. So is that it for the show this week?
Let's wrap it up before I cough some more.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things from time to time, as well as things about Arsenal Football Club. The Bills, Skins, Nats, the Orioles from time to time, they still are terrible. And other things that might pop into my head in regards to the wide world of sports. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, if you've enjoyed hearing me cough and sniffle and all the other things that I've been trying to hide cleverly by just leaning away from the microphone, which I'm imagining didn't work, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod is where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the show, related to the Capitals, their affiliates, and just hockey in general. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people are a fan of Joe Flacco and want to see you wearing a jersey of his, what podcast should they listen to?
Well, you can go over and listen to The Call whenever we are back, since the football season's over. We're kind of in hiatus until that starts up again. But if you are a Ravens fan and you want to go over what happened this past season, you can check out archived episodes of The Call. It is my Baltimore Ravens podcast. If you just love the sweet sound of my voice, you can listen to that show as well. So go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And you can check us out on Twitter at whatthepuckpod as well. I think they're both still connected. But check out Facebook, Twitter, follow us on Twitter, do all that good stuff. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is if you please spread the word about the show, write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, let's go over the games. The Caps are on a road trip to the west side of the United States. Late night games here if you're an East Coast fan. But on Thursday, February 13th, oh my God, it's only Wednesday. On Thursday.
I'm over here being like, yeah, it's Wednesday. We're almost done.
How is it only Wednesday? Oh my God. On Thursday, February 13th, the Capitals are in Colorado up against the Avalanche. You can watch that Eastern time at 9:30. That will be nationally televised because they really want Ovi to hit that 700 goal on a national broadcast.
They're trying their hardest.
They really are. You can watch it locally on NBC Sports Washington to get the better commentary of Joe B. And Lachlan, or you can watch it nationally on NBC Sports, or you can stream it on ESPN+. And then on Saturday, February 15th, the Capitals are up against the Coyotes in Arizona. That game has a 10 o'clock start. You can watch that on ESPN+ or NBC Sports Washington. And then on Monday, up against the Vegas Golden Knights in Vegas. That game is at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. Oh, that's right. It's President's Day. 6 o'clock. You can watch that on the NHL Network and NBC Sports Washington. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Suck it. We did it.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.